Welcome to the Get Your Energy Back podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Hansen. As a life coach, invisible illness warrior, and kidney transplant recipient, I've navigated the waters of chronic fatigue for nearly a decade and can help you feel more energized and alive than ever before. In this podcast, we dive deep into topics that can help you boost your energy levels and live a more vibrant life. Whether you're looking to overcome limiting beliefs, improve your relationships, gain a better understanding of what is affecting your energy levels, or simply find more joy and fulfillment in your life, the Get Your Energy Back podcast is the perfect place to start. So sit back, relax, and join me on this journey towards a more energized, balanced, and vibrant life. Welcome to the Get Your Energy Back podcast. Today, I have a very special guest with me. This is a friend of mine. I have known her. How long have we known each other for? Probably 17 years?
Yeah.
I would venture to say that you are one of my very longest friendships I've ever had in my life. So this is my dear friend and fellow coach, Lorraine Waugeman. And I'm going to let her tell you about her story, how she came to coaching, and how it's helped her today. And hopefully that will help you find something in her story that resonates with you too, so you can see the transformational power that happens with coaching. So, Lorraine, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you.
All right. Well, I was a military wife like Shelby. And so we met here in Ohio, and now we're both back. But I'm a mom of six kids, and I'm not a very, I've got a degree in math and all kinds of fun things, but my story. So
hang on. She's being a little modest. This girl is a rocket scientist. Okay, guys. And one of the things that I remember when we first met, one of the things that we used to do together all the time was she taught me how to use Photoshop. And how to use Photoshop elements and how to do digital scrapbooking. And we would spend hours on our laptops.
Still do spend hours doing digital scrapbooking.
Yes.
My creative outlet. So Shelby told me she was becoming a life coach, and I didn't really know what that meant. But in, when was that? 2020? She gave a free class on setting up your goals for the next year. And I signed up for your class, Shelby, only because I love you. You probably know that. Yes. But it turned out it was the best thing that I ever did for myself because it changed my life. I think one of the things I was talking to a friend just last night about life coaching is that people go to great ends to help their kids, but they don't even know that they need help. And they're just so busy in their life getting through, and they don't know that there's so many things out there that could change their lives. And that for me, that's what life coaching did. It changed my life for the better.
So tell us a little bit about at the beginning when you first were having, first classes with life coaching principles, where were you at in your life, emotionally?
Well, emotionally, I was probably in a lot worse off than I even realized.
I know.
It was COVID. So we already know that. But also, I was dealing with some diagnoses with family members, and my husband had just come back a few months before from being gone with the military for 3 years. And so we were having a terrible time reintegrating him into our family. When he left, all of our children were little, and he came home to a house with a bunch of teenagers, which was you can imagine. And I was just struggling. I had lost my sense of self because I had been taking care of everybody else for so long that, Lorraine was at the very bottom of the list. And so I set my goal to spend the next year learning to love myself. And it was so amazing and so transforming for me. And what I learned from that is that taking care of yourself and loving yourself is one of the very least selfish things that you can ever do for your family. Because when you love yourself and take care of yourself, then you can take care of them so much better.
Yeah, this is a really important piece, I think, and like something that's very interesting. Why do you think that we as women so often get caught in that trap of thinking, I've got to take care of everybody else and putting ourselves last on the list? Like, what's your thoughts about that? Because I find it so frequently when I coach.
I don't know. I think it's social thing that we're taught. We all have really great moms who did that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's part of it. And so we've been watched them, and that's the only way we know how to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're taught over and over again that we shouldn't be selfish, that we shouldn't, you know, all of these things. And I don't know that anybody ever tells us. I don't think anyone ever tells us that taking care of ourselves is selfish. Mm-hmm. But somehow maybe we think we're great because we put ourselves at the bottom of the list.
I know. It's so fascinating. I think, too, so much what you've said, it is so unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
We don't recognize that we're doing it.
I don't even think we know we're doing it.
Exactly. Until it's brought to our attention. So you did something that was so cool that I like share with people. I'm like, she created her own program. Like, so do you want to tell us a little bit of what you did in that whole year when you were, because you went all in on deciding, okay, I'm going to find myself.
I did go all in, and I started brainstorming and it just kind of poured in. And so I approached learning to love myself like a dating relationship, like I was courting myself. And so I thought about the different things that we do when we're courting, for example, making our bodies beautiful for that person. And so I had four areas, making yourself beautiful, getting to know yourself, having fun, and serving yourself. And then a fifth one that I added later was your relationship with God, because I realized that was an important component. And so one of the first things that I did in making yourself beautiful is I went and had a sleep study done that I had known for 15 years I needed to have done. And fixing my sleep made a huge difference, for example. So it's not all about getting a makeover or whatever.
Yeah. And that made such a drastic difference in your life too.
Yeah, it really did. You know, and just getting better sleep blesses my family. I also don't wait up for my teenagers anymore. I just go to bed. They can wake me up if they really need me.
Well, I think that was something that, again, like I coached with you, but I coach with a lot of mm-hmm. moms, that we have this perfect mom mold in our mind. And she's on 24/7 at everybody's beck and call at any moment. Like,
she never gets any time off.
Never gets any time off. She's ready to drop everything at the drop of a hat and go be there for her kids. And learning that, wait, it's actually not bad if I don't do that every single time. Like, I remember just like the different expectations of like how we feed our kids, like how we like how breakfast looks, just different little things that were like, no, but like a perfect mom, the mom that I'm supposed to be, would do these things.
And but we image of perfect mom, and we judge ourselves because we can't live up to her. And somehow at the same time, we think everybody else does.
Yes. I think there's something so powerful about healing and community, understanding that there's no woman out there that does all of those things. We see little pieces that people do. We don't know all of the things that they let go in order to be able to do those little pieces really well.
Right.
Like, I think that I was just on a coaching call yesterday with a friend, and she was saying, oh, I just feel bad because my husband gets the kids out of the door like in the morning. And I'm like, and she's like, nobody else does. All the other moms get up and they get their kids out. I'm like, I don't. And then another girl was like, neither do I. Like most days, my husband wakes up and he takes care of the kids. She was
feeling so much guilt. Two of my children leave before it and I don't even talk to them.
Yeah, but and it did take even me. I'm like, I felt a lot of guilt about that. I'm like, well, I should have enough energy to be able to get up. And I mean, these three of the four of my kids are out the door before 7 a.m. Like, like I should have the energy to do that. But my husband's just as happy to do it. Or there's lots of other creative ways to get those needs met. That doesn't mean that we're doing a bad job. Exactly. 'Cause that's just degrading the relationship with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about your experience during this year.
Well, one of the biggest things that happened for me as I started coaching was that I started learning to notice my thought patterns. And our brains are so funny. Like our brains will make a pattern out of anything. Our brains like habits. So like I noticed the other day that my parents live like a mile and a half from me. And I always drive to their house the same way, like, right? My brain likes that way. I go this way, you turn again. And I was riding with my husband. My husband was driving and he went a different way. And my brain was like, what? Can't drive to my parents' house that way, right? He might do it that way every time. I don't know. But his way, that way is just as great. And it's probably, I mean, basically the same distance. But my brain has figured out a way it likes to do it. And so it does it. And our brains do that with thoughts too. Just like one little thought. And our brain has a script. And it will take us through the whole script without, just the same way I can drive to my parents' house and not even think about the path that I'm taking. And so when we first learn about coaching, we start noticing these things and then we start getting up, shaming ourselves for them.
Yeah.
But I really think that noticing them is an amazing thing because once you notice and accept that it's happening, then you have the power to do something about it. And so one of my best thought scripts, I like to call it a rabbit hole thought.
Yeah.
And I think the place I did this the most is in the shower. It's like my brain is like, this is the perfect time to, you know, you have a script for how to take a shower. So let me tell you these things. And so I would start one thought, about it's probably something my husband said or did because those are the best ones.
Always. And
pretty soon by the time I'd finished washing my hair, I was in full on self-loathing. I was the most horrible person. I never did anything right. Right. And I'd gone thought. My brain knew the script. I didn't have to, it didn't even need me to participate. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And something beautiful happened the day that I was like, oh, and I noticed it was happening. And the next time it started and I said out loud, I think I'd like to talk to my brain. I'm not going to do this today. And it stopped. And I'm not sure that my brain ever offered me that thought ever again. Like it only took that one time for me to say, I'm not playing, I don't want to do this game anymore. It doesn't help me. And my brain was like, oh, okay, we'll do something else. And it's so beautiful because I had probably been down that path hundreds or thousands of times. And all I had to do was notice it a few times and it was gone.
Oh. That is such a powerful story because I think sometimes we're like, oh, if I want to change things, it's going to take a really long time. And probably you heard like enough coaching a lot of times. It's not like that was the first time, but it was the first time recognizing I'm somebody having this rabbit hole thought that I know where it leads. It's not helpful. And I don't have to participate. I actually have a choice. I have agency right here.
And that is the beautiful thing, is that when you notice your thoughts, you have the power.
Oof. Yes. So a lot of my listeners obviously struggle with chronic fatigue and low energy. How did understanding your emotional states and starting to learn how to love yourself, how did that improve your energy?
Oh, it was like a complete 180 degree turn, because when I let my thoughts just go and lead me to these places of self-loathing and whatever, that was like pretty much a guarantee for no more energy. It was a sit in the couch and watch Netflix and do nothing the rest of the day. And just allowing those thoughts to be, but also choosing, just, it's just a different energy. Happiness brings a different energy than self-loathing. That's just what it is. And we can do so many things when we feel good about ourselves that we can never do any other time.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but for me, because that I would hit the same exact pattern and be like, I don't know why I feel so terrible. Oh, I've just been like very cruel to myself. It kind of makes sense. Like we dysregulate ourselves,
mm-hmm,
with these thought patterns that are just unintentional. We're not doing it on purpose. Like, no, nope, we're not doing it to, like I said, we're not doing it on purpose.
And yet we say things to ourselves we would never say to anybody.
Yes. So, but I don't know about you, but for me, part of that was learning that after I've said those things to myself and I have that really drained energy where I'm in that collapse state, especially because I've just like freaked myself out so much, the first piece of healing had to do with being okay with being there.
Mm-hmm.
Like not judging that I was there. That's where I like opened up the space to start to access the healing.
Because then you just add insult to injury, because then you're mad at yourself for being there. So now you have a new thing to criticize yourself for.
Like, see, and you're not even doing anything.
Just
like,
spiral a little more.
Yes. Yes. So if you're finding yourself where you're like, yep, I don't have any energy, I'm finding myself on the couch, watching Netflix, binging, whatever, just, you know, overeating, whatever the thing is that we do to numb, because we're so afraid of how we're feeling, that shame. So if you are finding yourself doing that, in my invitation to you, and you can say what has helped you too, Lorraine, my invitation is to start to make peace with where you're at without judging where you're at, and starting to build from where you are and letting go of that expectation of the perfect mom that you think that you should, mm-hmm, be.
Yeah. In fact, I remember one day being so down and actually saying to myself, Lorraine, the only way you know how to deal with this right now is food. Mm-hmm. So go eat.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out what you can do differently next time. But for today, you're not that girl. And then I was in a different position, I was able to think about. And the next time, I was able to do different. Same thing with, it's okay, girl. Watch a show today. Watch the whole season. If that's what you need.
Yeah. I, this is why I'm an unconventional coach, I feel like, because I'm like, yes, go do those things. Because what it's doing is creating safety with where you're at. And once you feel safe, then you can create a new pattern. But being dysregulated and staying in that level of dysregulation without soothing yourself is just a recipe for continued just disaster.
Yeah. I told someone not that long ago, if you could hate yourself into being better, I'd be all for it, but it doesn't work that way.
No, I know. Isn't that such a bummer? So, So tell us a little bit more about your journey becoming a coach. Cause this has been a fun adventure for you.
It has been a fun adventure. It's not something I ever thought I would do. Facebook decided I should be a coach before I did. It started telling me this, but it really was for me an answer to prayer. I found myself it was on my mind, but I hadn't really considered it. Then I somehow found myself praying about that and just got a real strong, overwhelming feeling that this was something that I should do. And so off I went. And so, yeah, it's been a fun journey. And even becoming a coach, I've learned so many things that have helped me and thus my family.
Yeah. And I guess I should circle back around. How did it go by the end of the year with your goal of learning to love yourself?
Well, by the end of the year, I stopped tracking my goal about 10 months. And so I guess about 10 months in, I must have decided that I had reached my goal.
So, well, you were tracking it. You had, guys, it was amazing. She had like a bullet journal with like all of the things. Like, this is exactly how you do it, like step by step. She really put so much mind power and effort into it. And you'd be like, okay, I've checked this thing. I did this mm-hmm. thing. I did this thing. Like, you treated it almost like it was a part-time job.
I did. It was a big deal. And I have this big, beautiful journal that ends in October.
Yeah. And so tell us about like the girl that took the first class that was like, wait a second, I've got some thoughts and these are creating terrible emotions in me, to this girl who now has the self-compassion and love for her. Like, tell us a little bit about that difference between these two versions of you.
That girl, she was just trying to get through.
Yeah.
She didn't even know how bad it was. She just knew that she didn't have another choice. And so she was doing it. And she didn't have a lot of joy in life. I don't think I realized that at the time, but I really was just getting through. And today, what's different? I have an amazing morning routine.
She does.
With me for my whole day. I am building my relationship with my husband and children. I have 3 friends that I schedule time with every single week.
And I'm lucky to be one of them.
And I don't feel guilty doing that because I now realize just how much my girl time, my friend time means to me. Mm-hmm. So, and how much it fuels me. So those are some of the big differences. I don't really very often feel guilty. Maybe that's a big difference.
Wow. Like a drop the mic moment.
So, because not that I don't do anything wrong, but I'm a lot better at embracing. And it's just part of me.
Ah, I think so many people need to hear that because guilt is one of the emotions that a lot of women struggle with, especially as moms. So Lorraine's got the answer. If you want to stop feeling guilty, she solved the issue. So
maybe Lorraine, that's a bad thing, though. Maybe that means I'm doing terrible things and I'm just unaware.
I don't think that is anywhere near the truth, knowing you in real life. So, yeah. So if you want to let us know, how can we find out more about you? If people are interested in hearing about your coaching, or is there anything? I think that you have an ebook out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So you can find me on Facebook at Lorraine Waggaman Life Coaching. And in the next week, I'm hoping to put out there I have a free ebook. It's Notice Your Thoughts, Transform Your Lives. And it contains 3 types of destructive thoughts that you can let go of today.
Yeah, so good. Okay, all of those things will be in the show note links. So you can check her out on Facebook and go download her ebook because it's so beautiful. So good. Well, it's so wonderful to see you, Lorraine. Is there any last parting things you'd like to tell before we head off?
I would just encourage everyone to go on their own journey. That's self-love.
Oh, I love it so much. Thank you so much for being here, Lorraine. This was amazing.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you're looking for a life coach to work with, what are you waiting for? Let's get coaching together today. I hope you have a wonderful week as you take your power back on creating more vitality, energy, and vibrancy in your life today.